Yes, I'm just going to pray for Mo before she brings a message to us. So yes, dear Lord, thank you for this evening. Thank you for bringing Mo here, all the way that she's come just to be here tonight. Thank you for the fun that we are going to have, we've already had, and thank you for the fun that is going to come up. And we just pray that as Mo comes and shares with us, that something she has to say speaks to us and, you know, hits a nerve for us. And we pray that as you speak through Mo's words, that we can build a deeper connection to you. Pray us all in your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Mark. Well, hello, everyone. I'm Mo. Short for Morgan Elizabeth Daisy Power, but I don't expect you to remember that, so I'm Mo. And I'm so honoured to come and see you all tonight. People keep saying, oh, she's come from so far. It's actually because I'm based in Uganda at the moment, so I don't live in this country, but I'm back visiting my family, and I have such a privilege to be with you guys tonight as a part of that before I fly back to Uganda. So what I do in Uganda is similar to what we're doing here. I work with people your age, mainly in a school and in a church, what you call a chaplain out there, and I'm training out there. So I'm there to learn from what they're doing in Uganda with their young people, because there are thousands and thousands and thousands of young people out there who don't have parents. So therefore, they rely on support networks in the community to help them, to guide them, to give them advice, to be big brothers and big sisters to them when life can be really difficult and lonely. So that's what I do out there, and I've come back to talk to you guys about something I would talk to them out there, because I'm going to talk to you about the Bible. And the Bible is incredible, and I'm sure some of you know that, some of you study your Bibles, because it's universal in its language. So the speaking I would give out there about the Bible is exactly the same as what we're going to talk about here. Isn't that amazing? We're from completely different cultures, and I can't really stress to you how much the cultures are so different. Our lives here look very different to their lives out there, and yet God speaks through his word in the same way to all of his people. And we're going to look at a passage tonight about Jesus and about what he taught people to do, what he showed people through his actions. So to give you a bit of background as to who I am and why I think I have the nerve to come up here and talk to you about Jesus and what is she blabbering on about, it's because I have a thing called a testimony. And I want to say to you that all of you have a testimony, because whether you know God or not, or you're still like, I don't even know if I believe there is a God, well, I can say to you categorically, God has worked in your life, God has been there for you, and God is giving you a testimony of what he's doing. So my testimony starts when I was born, but I'm going to talk about from when I was 18. Because I think that's more appropriate to talk about, because many of you in this room are about to approach that age, or you are that age. So when I was 18, I was living in Stamford. Anyone know Stamford? It's not too far from here. Whoop, whoop up Stamford. I wasn't born there. I was saying earlier to my group, I wish I was born there. I'd have like 50 ponies by now. I wasn't born there. But I did end up growing up there from when I was 16. But when I was 18, I'd never really been involved in the church. I'd gone a couple of times. Didn't really make sense to me. I thought the church was something you did when you retired from your job. I thought it was a fun, like, social group. You'd do knitting with them. You'd go have coffee and eat cake. But I didn't think that the church was much more than that. But when I was 18, I grew up being a performer. I was an actress. I trained from a young age as an actress. And I ended up, from the age of 7, I was working professionally as an actor. I was a child actor, as they call it. And I was working mainly in London. I was working on the West End. And I loved musical theatre. I loved performing arts. I loved the theatre. It's where I wanted to be from a very young age. So I trained in that. I went off to a sick form and did that. I then went off to university and did that. So it was everything within me. It was what I loved. It's where my heart was. Everything I had was in that world. It's where I wanted to be. I wanted to graduate from university with a degree in performing arts and go and perform on cruise ships, because, as I've said, I love traveling. And I thought that's the perfect thing to do, getting to perform and getting to travel the world. So I was at university. And during that time, I got into a really bad place mentally. and all of my self-worth, so everything I thought about myself and everything I had value within me was connected to certain things that weren't good for me. One of those was my weight and how I looked. A lot of my self-worth was in that. As a performer, you'd have very strict dance teachers saying, you need to lose weight, you need to be this size. To be a performer, you have to fit in these clothes. So there was a lot of pressure to be the right size, to be that person I wanted to be. And that turned into some really difficult mental challenges around what I physically looked like and what I believed about my body and how it gave me worth in the career I wanted. The other thing was that I longed for a relationship. I grew up in a single parent household. So I grew up with my mom, my dad wasn't about. So I always wanted a partner. I wanted a boyfriend who could tell me he loved me and be everything for me that I never got as a child. And this led me into really rubbish choices and life choices because I was holding my self-worth in someone else. And most of the time, especially when you're young, they're not all like together themselves to be able to support you that much. So when you put all your worth in them, you're going to come into some difficulties. You're going to feel empty. And that's what I was starting to feel. I was putting all my worth in these things, in my weight and how I looked, in my relationships. And that was a really big challenge to me because it led me down some really dark paths as a teenager. Many situations where I'd look around and be like, how did I get here? How did I get into this situation? And one day, I was in a dance class, and there was a boy in my dance class that I really liked. So I was like, let me impress him. I'm going to impress him. And I'd been dancing all day. We had to do it a lot. We were doing examinations. And at the end of a dance routine, I had to jump into the splits. Now, back in the day, I could do that. But it'd been such a long day, and my body was very tired. I hadn't really considered that my body wouldn't be able to react well to that. So as I jumped down into the splits, I managed to push my hip out of place, which tore the muscle away from the bone and also broke the nerves. I didn't really notice at the time because my leg just went completely numb. And I thought, that's weird. But I ignored it and went clubbing because, of course, that's what you should do when you get a really big injury. So I went out on a night out, and the next morning I woke up in my bed and I couldn't get out of bed. And I realized that from my waist down, I couldn't feel anything. I couldn't feel my toes. And I was really scared. My mum came, took me to the A&E, and they said, you've got a really serious injury. You're going to be in a wheelchair for quite a while. Your injuries are so extensive that the muscle repair is going to take maybe years to get you back to walking and dance. We don't think you're ever going to be able to recover fully because your nerve damage will always be there, no matter how much your body tries to heal itself. So at this point, I was like, what? My whole life's work has been leading up to a career that is now unattainable because I'm in a wheelchair. I went home. I got kicked out of my uni because I couldn't fulfill the course. I couldn't do dance anymore. And I returned home to my mum. She was amazing, encouraged me every day. But I was getting more and more depressed because I didn't know what to do with my life. I felt like it had ended. But she encouraged me and said, would you come to church with me? I've really started attending this church in town, and I think it would be really good for you because they care about you and they love you and they want to see you. So I went into church in a wheelchair. I'd been to that church a few times and I wasn't very committed to it, but I had been going ever so often because they were nice people. Christians often are quite nice to you. So I went into my wheelchair and I was so embarrassed. I was like, everyone kind of knows me here. They know that I'm a performer. This is so embarrassing to go in a wheelchair because I'd sustained this injury because I was trying to impress a boy, and that's really not very Christian, is it? So I just feel like an imposter in this room. And I sat there in my wheelchair and people rushed over and started praying for me. And I was like, why are you praying for me? I've done this to myself. If God does exist, he's not going to fix this. He's not going to want to be a part of this because I didn't do anything to make him want to fix me. Who am I? And yet, I heard some worship playing. And actually, we've got someone in this room tonight whose dad had quite an instrumental effect in my life at this moment. So a guy called Simon was leading worship. And he said, if you're willing and able, please stand to your feet and we're going to worship Jesus. And I heard those words. And in that moment, I started to feel a tingling in my toes. Now, bearing in mind, up until this point, I'd been 3 months in a wheelchair and I hadn't had any sensation in my legs. I'd been going to physio, I was having very strange therapy where they were sending electrical pulses into my muscles to try and stimulate them, to try and make them grow faster. But nothing was happening. I still couldn't walk. And I'd been doing that for a few months. And yet, this moment, I felt a tingling sensation, and almost like a tingling that turned into pins and needles. And at that point, I got really scared, and it kind of hurt. So I jumped up onto my feet to try and stop it and realized that I could walk, realized that I could feel my legs again. And I know you're probably thinking, that's crazy. That can't be true. Her body just probably fixed itself. I went to the doctors the following day and was like, what has happened? I think you misdiagnosed me. And they were like, no. And the doctor, he was a Christian, and he said, I can't explain this medically, but I think you know what you experienced is true. So at that point, I realized my life kind of had to change, and I had to make some different choices. Because if there was a God out there who would fix my leg, there was clearly a reason why he did it. There was clearly something greater that I'd been missing out on that he wanted me to be a part of, and he wanted me to walk to do it. So I started exploring who God was. And people often say, like, the moment I said yes to Jesus, I became a Christian. I was perfect. I had nothing wrong with me, and I followed a straight path. It's not true. I mean, being a Christian is difficult, and it's not a linear journey. You're kind of like this all the time, and you often make more mistakes, if I'm honest. And along the way, I started to make more mistakes, but at least I knew that someone cared for me, and someone was leading me to something so much greater than I had planned for myself. So that's my testimony, and that's why I'm here talking to you right now. And it's okay, I'm very fine if you don't believe me. I'm really fine with that, because it's the truth I know, and I believe God's asked me to share it with people. But if that's not where you're at, that's totally fine. So I'm going to talk to you about a different healing, not my own, not something that happened to me, but something that we can read in Scripture about what Jesus did. So we're going to look at a passage from John 5. We're going to look at this story. I'm going to read it to you, and then we're going to summarize it and kind of break it down. So it says in John 5, verse 1 to 15, sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there is in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered columns. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been invalid, I mean, that's an interesting word to use. This translation says invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been there in this condition for a long time, he asked him, do you want to get well? Sir, the invalid replied, I have no one to help me in the pool where the water is stirring. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. Then Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your mat and walk. At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and he walked. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath. And so the Jewish leaders said to the man who had been healed, this is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat. But he replied, the man who made me well said to me, pick up your mat and walk. So they asked him, who is this fellow who told you to pick up your mat and walk? The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you." And the man went away and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who had made him well. So here we see Jesus encountering someone on a mat. So your mat was your sleeping place at that time, but this man had been begging people to take him to the waters. There was a pool near him, and it was very close to him. But for 38 years, he'd never managed to get to this pool. And this pool told, the kind of myth around the pool was that if you went there, you would be healed. If you went there, you would receive the success you're looking for. So he'd waited outside to someone carry him to the pool so he could get healed, so he could help himself and get a better life. And Jesus comes along and sees that he's been waiting for this for years and says to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and go." Jesus had already taken place in his miracle work. He had given that man his legs back. And I think for me, I connect to this story on a very physical level because that's what happened to me. But I don't think that's what the main point of this story is about. I can't promise you that God is going to physically heal every ailment in your body. But what I can promise is a deeper healing can happen through Jesus Christ. This man, through this experience, was saved. He encountered Jesus, and his life was given to him. And it wasn't just a physical life that was going to finish in 50 so years when he died. It was an eternal life that only Jesus can give to his people who follow him. So in this story, I'm going to get you to do a little game, just a quick one, because I know talks can be quite boring. So I want you to all get yourself like a jacket or something for you to sit on. We're going to pretend we've got some mats now. So if you've got a jacket or something you could take off and sit on top of, that would be really helpful. If you don't, it's really fine. But if you have, just sit on a jacket, sit on a mat. Does anyone need a mat? I've got a spare one here if anyone wants to sit on this. Do you want to sit on this, mate? Are you sure? Okay, have you got something to sit on? Great. Of course you can. I don't know if you tech guys, could you put on a little bit of music? We're going to play a bit of musical chairs, mat style. So I want you to get up. And you're going to walk around to the music, and when the music stops, you're going to go sit on another mat, okay? So walk around the space, and then you're going to find a mat to sit on. If you find a mat, drop to the floor. If you don't, stay standing. Right, are you ready? Let's have some music on. Sit on a mat, find a mat. Uh-oh, who hasn't got a mat? You can't add one, that's not how this works. Okay, let's do it one more time. This time, if you can, try and get back to your mat. Ready?
Do you want it to be advancing the slides?
Yeah, I'll kind of gone off piece of it. Okay, have you found your mats again? Was it a bit satisfying when you ran back to your own mat, when you ran back to your own belonging? Because you have this kind of connection, you're like, that's mine, I'm running back to it. So in this story, we see a man with his mat, and I think it's really important that Jesus says, pick up your mat and walk and go away. Because I think when we have something we're really attached to, we often want to go back to it. So if we have somewhere we're really comfortable in, we don't want to leave it. We don't want to leave that mat. And for this man, his mat was this kind of self-pity, begging position where he couldn't help himself, living on his mat. He was waiting for someone for 38 years to take him to the pool to heal him. And he never got there. But this mat represented all of this kind of self-pity and, oh, my life's really difficult. I'm going to sit here for 38 years and hope someone else helps me because I'm not going to help myself. And I think in all of our lives, we can sometimes get like that. Not necessarily with self-pity, and we're not all physically disabled here. But sometimes there are things in our life that draw us back to a place that we don't really want to be in, but they're so comfortable that we exist there. Can we have up on the screen the mat slide? It's number 6. So for me, my mat was my wheelchair. It's kind of living in this self-pity of, oh, my life's so difficult, I've lost everything. And it was really easy to live like that. It's really easy to get into a position where you self-pity. And other things became my mat, like going out clubbing all the time because it was the only place I felt like I had a bit of self-worth. Or when I weighed myself because I felt like if I'd lost a few pounds, then I gained some self-worth. And these things created this mat, this space where I felt comfortable, but it wasn't good for me. And Jesus comes along and he says, you don't have to live like that. You're already healed. I didn't even have to say, Lord, heal this man. Jesus didn't even have to do that. He just was healed. He encountered Jesus and was healed. But what Jesus asked of him was to pick up the mat of the things in his world that were keeping him from exploring his real potential, the comfortable space that actually wasn't good for him, to take up those things and remove that mat from his life. Because like I said, when you're on this road, and if you're traveling it with Jesus, although it's great, it's lovely, sometimes worship feels great when you're in a space of lots of people, but other times you get really challenged and life gets difficult. So it's really easy in those times to look over at your mat and go, actually, it was more comfortable here, so I think I'll go back to this. And that was fun, Jesus, but actually this is a lot easier. And I'm not doing so great, but at least I'm comfortable. So Jesus specifically says, pick up that mat. Take away that temptation from your life that's stopping you from walking with me, that's stopping you from stepping into what you should be doing. The other thing in this story that I think is really important and speaks to all of us is this pool that was there that he was so close to but couldn't reach, and this pool represented all the healing that a man could ever want on earth. And I think for us, we all have pools in our life that tell us who we are and what we should be and how we should succeed. Can we go on to the pool slide? So for me, that was being a star on stage, having the spotlight. Another thing that was my pool that I thought would make me successful was having a good relationship, like couples goals. So I could post loads of Instagrams about my amazing boyfriend. Another thing was money, which we're just told generally, you'll be happy in life if you have lots of money. And the other thing was like social media following, all that nice things that make us feel great when we get a like on social media. Those things had really become this pool of success that I wanted. And if I could just get there, I would succeed in life. I would be happy. And I think we all have this pool. And it sounds great on the surface. It sounds great to have success in those things. But you will one day look around and realize it's just a pool. It's nothing more than a pool. It's not even running water, it's just still. But the other option, if you don't choose the mat and you don't choose that pool, you're left with Jesus. He was the other option in this story. Jesus gave this man an opportunity to have a new life. And Jesus didn't even tell him his name. He didn't say, hey, I'm Jesus, I healed you. He left. Because he knew that through the testimony he had given that man of healing him and sending him on his way, that he would find his way to the temple, start worshiping God, and there would find Jesus. Jesus will never drag you into a relationship with him. We have a loving God who is not a tyrant. He doesn't tell us what to do. He invites us to be a part of what he's doing. It's called free will. I'm sure most of you have heard of this. You can choose the pool. That's your free will. You can choose to stay on your mat. That's your free will. You can choose to follow Jesus, and that's your choice. So for me, when I followed Jesus, when I was 18 years old and realized that actually that pool was never going to get me anywhere, I had the best time. And then I realized how difficult it was. That it's easier to want the pool, that it's easier to sit on that mat. It's harder to follow Jesus. But the satisfying feeling, this joy that was better than just happiness, was so much greater and so much bigger than me. And it was amazing to learn about. It was amazing to grow with God on this journey. And you're probably thinking, well, that's great for you. You were physically healed. Good for you. My life, I'm really struggling. I'm not seeing God in that. That's okay. That's really okay. That's okay to feel that way. That's okay to feel really distant from God. But it's trusting in his scriptures in those times. The word of God is really powerful. And whether you're in a really happy place, you'll find scriptures that reflect that. If you're in a really low place and you don't know where to turn, you'll find scriptures that talk about that, that talk about how to handle that, that talk about other people who experienced that, and yet 10 years down the line, their life was completely different. These scriptures give us hope that there's something better, there's something greater coming. So I'm going to ask you some questions now. And I kind of want you to do this, to close your eyes, because then we can feel less uncomfortable about people watching us. Because I'm going to ask you some questions, and I'm not asking you to say them out loud, but I want you to bring them to mind and think about them. So for you, what is that mat that is comfortable but you know is self-destructive? What are the things in your life that you're investing your time in, that you're putting your worth in, that make you actually feel really rubbish inside, that aren't building you up, but they're breaking you down? What is that mat? Now I want you to think about that pool, that successful healing pool that will give you everything you want, will heal everything that's broken, and make you successful in everything you do. What have people said to you are that pool? What things in your life have you been told, if you do that, you'll succeed? If you do that, you'll find everything you need. If you do that, you'll find a lot of happiness. What's that pool that maybe you're investing in and seeking so much so that you're forgetting about who you are as a person? Because you're so focused on that future of what you want, you forget to live in the present. And the final question I'm going to give you. Really important one. And you can answer it very honestly. Would you like to know Jesus better? You've heard a story of what he did in someone's life. And I can promise you that he can do that to your life. That he heals those things where you think you're broken beyond repair. He can journey with you and be a close companion. And you can talk to him about the things you would never say to anyone. And most importantly, through his blood, through his sacrifice on the cross, he can give you eternal life. He can give you something greater than the pool. Would you like to get to know Jesus better? Now, if you said yes to that, then I'd love, and you're saying it for the first time, or you're saying it because you want to renew that, I'd love for you to reach out to your leaders in this room. They care. They want to share those things with you because we don't do this journey alone. If you said no to that, that is totally fine. Like I said, it's a choice. I'm not here to force you into a decision because it has to come from you. But we're going to pray together now. We're going to pray into that. And I want you to bring to mind those things in your life that you are wanting to remove. You're wanting to get rid of that mat. It's becoming so self-destructive that you just don't want it there, but you don't think you've got the strength on your own to lift that mat up. Or maybe you're feeling so much pressure of what that pool represents in your life and where you think your success is coming from that you just don't think that you can ever achieve it, but you know that everyone else wants you to. If you're feeling that pressure, let's pray together. Let's pray through these things. We don't pray just happiness to God. We pray about hardship. So let's pray together. Father God, we thank you so much for who you are and that you see us right now in all our brokenness. Lord, there's things in my life that I'm not proud of. There's parts of me that I'm struggling with. But today I want to give them to you. I want to stop feeling that pressure and know that you can handle it better than I can. So Lord, I give it to you. Jesus, thank you so much for the stories you tell us through your word. Thank you for the examples you gave us. Thank you for the man that you healed on that mat, that you showed him a better life. Help me to understand that life for myself. Show me and reveal to me the things of my life that are really getting me down, the things in my life that are taking over my self-worth. Help me to know that my identity lies in you, Lord. And finally, we're going to pray this truth over ourselves. It comes from Psalm 23. I'm going to read it to you as we finish in our prayer. Lord, we thank you that your scriptures say that you are my shepherd, that I lack nothing, that you make me lie down in green pastures, that you lead me beside the still, quiet waters, and you refresh my soul. You guide me along the right paths for your name's sake. And even though I walk through the darkest valleys, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. We're going to go into time of worship now. I believe the song we're going to sing about is about being in the house of miracles. We've seen a miracle in scripture. I've shared a miracle of my life. But I believe that God right now is here and he's wanting to do more miracles in this space. In your heart, in your mind, in your physical being, he wants to be with you. He wants to refresh you so you leave these doors changed from when you came in. Let's sing together.
Isn't that amazing that with sin tonight that there's truth in the Bible, that you know all those words that we read about, they really do come true. And I think that's an amazing story. I feel like healing might happen tonight, but one of the things that Mo was talking about is picking up that mat and saying yes. And in the chorus, in this song, it says, "Come alive in the name of Jesus." And you might not know this song very well, so feel free to sit and listen. But I'm going to sing that over you all. And that's a declaration. You know, when Mo was healed, Simon, I think it was, said, "Stand up and walk," like Jesus said in the Bible, "Stand up and pick up your mat." So tonight we're going to sing for you all to come alive in the name of Jesus.
Sing, come alive.